The Mohegan House is not, as its name would seem to imply, kept exclusively for the accommodations of that noble tribe of warriors. At present, there are not enough of these eminently distinguished individuals traveling to ensure success to a hostelry devoted exclusively to them. Neither is the proprietor a big engine of the tribe, does not resemble them in the least in person or act, was never known in his most playful mood to tomahawk a guest or even wield the sportive scalping knife with intent to lift hair. Tempting as the ladies' heads of the present day must make it to a person given to that little recreation, the only chance to prove damages is on the ground of deliberately conspiring with his cook to lead you into temptation at his bountifully supplied and well-served table. The name was given the house a long time ago by an admirer of Cooper. And on the flagstaff that used to stand out toward the dock was erected a wicked-looking wooden warrior, wonderfully made, who, with tomahawk in hand, perpetually on the warpath, stood through summer sun and winter storm, keeping grim and ceaseless vigils over the surrounding country. Time passed. The stately form was at last gathered to his father's, and the last solemn rites paid to his memory. But his fame is perpetuated in the house that bears the honored name, and unprincipled agents still sell his biography, solemnly affirming that each one sold is actually the last of the Mohicans. The house is a long, low structure, two stories high, fronted by a piazza and backed by a man who has spent the best part of his life catering to the public, H.W. Wilson, whose father before him kept the Mohegan for many years. A part of the frame of the present hotel was erected a way back before the beginning of the present century, and it is said to be the oldest one standing in the country. It is also said that on the point where the dock now stands was once a building, destroyed about the year 1800, which had been used by a band of smugglers as a point of distribution for contraband goods brought through from Canada. The lawn is shaded by maples and locusts, the long point protected by a new and expensive seawall, extending quite a distance out into the lake and terminating in a substantial dock where the guests repair at rosy morn and dewy eve to witness the arrival of the steamboat, which is considered the great event of the day. A number of wealthy German families live here during the summer, and their refinement is displayed in their happy social ways and love for their flower-draped homes. One of them, just south of the Mohegan, nearly hidden among the trees and bushes, is occupied by F. Terriot. On the point south of this is another cottage, equally pretty. The large, comfortable-looking house on the bay beyond is the residence of Mr. R. Cans, an ex-banker of New York, who cultivates his farm on scientific principles, to the no small benefit of the people round about, and makes it considered from all but a financial point of view, which doesn't seem to have much weight in the matter, a decided success.